Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues on this Tuesday, December 11th, just 2 weeks from Christmas. In studio with me, Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and One News Now. Good morning, Fred.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. And then also in studio, Walker Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations. Walker, good morning.
Good morning, Ed. Good to be here.
And then from somewhere out yonder, I guess in Kansas, is megastar Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. Good morning, Ray.
Well, good morning, Ed. They used to say about the wrestlers from parts unknown, right? So I'm from parts unknown, otherwise known as Kansas City. How you doing,
Kansas
Ed?
Kansas City? Yeah, I'm doing good. It's been a long time, but I think since we've been on the show, it's just worked out that way. And so, guys, it's we're 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks from Christmas.
Yeah. And when you put it in that frame, like we're getting real close, you start thinking, okay, I haven't done this yet. I haven't done that yet. I haven't purchased that card that needs to be mailed and hope that the United States Postal Service gets it there on time. All of those things go through your head at
this
moment.
Yes, they do. My wife has bailed me out. She got my dad's Christmas card with the family picture that I was supposed to send about 2 months ago. She got that out in the mail. Saved my bacon. I had completely forgot about it. And she said, aren't we supposed to, I got that set up. You want me to send that out? Oh, yes, please do. So anyway, I've got a couple of gift cards to get, but other than that, we're done. And, you know, really soured on the whole Christmas experience.
Bah, humbug.
Bah, humbug. All right, well, we're going to have Frank Turek on in just a few minutes, and he's going to talk about the true meaning of Christmas. But before we do that, let's talk about some depressing news, Fred.
Depressing news. Well, our first story, let me preface it by saying I'd like to be a fly on the wall. Because today, President Donald Trump is going to have a sit-down meeting at the White House with his dear friend Nancy Pelosi and his second dear friend Chuck Schumer.
Right.
Oh, would I ever love
talk
to
about sending out Christmas cards.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what. You know, but I guess having experienced Donald Trump over the last couple of years, I can imagine, you know, he'll greet them at the door and there'll be a handshake. Come on in, you know, can I get you coffee or, you know, Merry Christmas to you guys, you know, that kind of thing. But they are there. And it's almost one of those meetings where you know what all the parties are going to say coming out of the meeting. Because one of the big issues here is President Donald Trump wants in the next budget $5 billion to finish building the wall.
Right.
On the southern border. Now, he's come a long way from $25 billion.
Yes.
So $5 billion. But we hear this morning the Democrats, well, they're going to compromise. They have agreed to $1.2 billion in the past. They bumped it all the way up to $1.3 billion.
You don't say.
Yeah. I'm sure President is excited about that. But we're also hearing the possibility, because I think, you know, President Trump knows he's not going to get much more than $1.3 billion, that he may be willing, and this would be very interesting, to say, in the name of national security, I will just get the Army to build me a wall across the southern border. And you know, guys, for the most part, the polling shows, even amongst those who call themselves political moderates, they are all for building a wall. Now, Nancy Pelosi, in recent days, has called a wall immoral. But she's okay with a fence. Now, you can scratch your head on that one, but I think if you understand where Nancy Pelosi's coming from, we have fence portions of the border already, and we all know that that doesn't work.
Right.
People climb over it. They dig under it. One of the things with these walls is that the setting of the wall, the bottom part goes down deep in order to prevent some of these things that we've seen even in recent days. And it's very hard, more difficult to scale a smooth cement wall versus a fence where you can climb up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we've all seen pictures of that.
Didn't she suggest that we just get some guys with weed eaters out there and clear the grass?
Yeah, at one point, weed eaters. Yeah, that's working really well. But as I say, the American people, and I think migration crisis that we have seen in recent weeks has just underlined in a very vivid way for people that we have thousands of people who want to come into this country and live off of this country.
Right.
And they're willing to do anything to do that. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, we're just trying to help folks have a better life. Well, but there's still a legal way to do that.
Right.
And that's what bothers people, that people are coming in through the back door instead of legally.
Hey, now, Walker, the Pelosi-Schumer tandem going to the White House, they're already kind of priming the pump and saying we do not. In fact, they said, quote, our country cannot afford a Trump shutdown.
Yeah.
So they're already priming the pump in case Trump decides he wants to play hardball with them. What is this about? I can't believe the media will fall for this.
I know, right? Yeah, the Democrats are very good at placing blame on Republicans for virtually everything. And because they're all on the same page, the Democrats are, they're all on the same talking points, and the media oftentimes goes right along with it. So if President Trump doesn't get ahead of this and the Republicans, if President Trump in the back of his mind knows that he's about to fight this, which we'll just have to see because he's caved before on this issue, if President Trump's going to fight this and he's willing to not fund 15% or some odd number of the government, remember 85% stays up and running. It's on autopilot, if you will. But if President Trump's really going to take this fight to the Democrats, then he needs to get the American people on board. He needs to get the entire Republican Party on the same talking points. And it does need to be blamed on the Democrats because they're the ones who don't want to secure our border. But it's going to take it's an uphill fight to shift the blame back to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
Well, Ray, it seems like it would be a tall order for the president without a lot of Republicans. I don't know whether all Republicans would back him with this kind of a move if he decides to say, I'm going to veto or I'm going to shut down the government. But it also seems to be a tall order with the media virtually in a frenzy of opposition to President Trump. It seems like it'd be a tall order to get the message out that it's the Democrats who are shutting down the government.
Well, the timing is just awful. Optics are awful. Here we are. It's December, right? It's just before Christmas. You can imagine, Ed, what the mainstream media, which is in the hip pocket of the Democratic Party anyway, you can just imagine what the Washington Post and the New York Times and the talking heads are going to say. See, here we are just before Christmas, and this evil Grinch, Donald Trump, shut down the government. And now, there's never a good time to, quote, shut down the government, or even, Walker, as you said, just the 15%.
Right.
But boy, this is the timing doesn't work in Mr. Trump's favor. The only way I see this working, Walker, is what you said. Can he rally his own party to stand with him? I think that's the big question here.
All right. Well, we'll continue to follow this because this is where we are. I mean, I just don't remember this type, maybe since the 60s, this type of hostility between the political parties and the two sides of the country. And here we are, you know, Christmas time, and we're gonna be watching. As Ray said, very good point, Fred. The optics here do not favor the president. At the same time, I was looking at a poll from Rasmussen, and the president is at 49% approval. Now he's at 49% disapproval, but I really am shocked with all the stuff going on that he's at that high.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, 99% of the media coverage of the president is negative.
Right.
Here's the miracle that he's at 49%.
Yeah, yep. that is true, Fred, because if you look at the past few weeks and even the past few months, there hasn't been that many victories that President Trump has been able to talk about. Congress has been kind of in a stalemate. They've been having all these hearings that don't really affect President Trump.
Lost a bunch of Republican seats.
Yeah, they lost some House seats in the midterms. So President Trump is, from a public perspective, he is in need of a victory, if you will. But the 49% is probably mostly his base, and they're going to stick with him whether, you know, it's sunshine or cloudy outside.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we get closer to the election in 2022, what's really going to work in the president's favor is the economy,
right,
which is cooking right now. A lot of attention being paid on the Dow Jones. and it's bouncing up and down right now. But that has more with global forces rather than internally.
Right.
I mean, every report that we see on the economy of the United States is all positive. And come election day, if you have a job and you're making more today than you were 2 years ago,
right,
and it's because your company is taking advantage of the tax cuts that the Trump administration put in place early on in his presidency, you're going to remember that when you go to the polls.
Right.
And as we were saying, the poll after poll has shown when it comes to securing our southern border, the American people are in favor of that. And when you really stop and think, do you really want thousands and thousands and thousands of more people streaming across the border? And we talked about stats recently. 60%, what is it, of the food stamp recipients?
63%.
63% are non-citizens.
Well, 63% of non-citizens
are
on welfare.
Are on welfare.
Yeah.
Now, stop and think about that for a moment. Can any country sustain that kind of welfare program?
Right.
You cannot. So there's practicalities to all of this that come into play. And so what is the alternative? What are the Democrats saying? Who's going to pay for all of that? If you're going to open up the doors, Democrats, and you want these people flowing in and anybody who wants to claiming asylum, who's going to pay for that? I want Democrats to answer that question. Where does it come from?
Right. Well, they don't have to if the media covers for them.
So. That's right.
All right. Well, we have been mentioning Christmas coming up, and to help us kind of get in the spirit of Christmas, we're welcoming Frank Turek, well-known to our listeners, author, apologetics expert, host of the radio program Cross-Examined. I used to say dynamic speaker, but then Frank himself would mock me for calling him a dynamic speaker. I thought I was complimenting him. Cross-Examined is heard on AFR Talk each Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time, each Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. Central Time. Frank, welcome back.
There's nothing like border security to get you in the Christmas spirit, huh?
Yes, go ahead and transition now from border security and welfare payments to the true meaning of Christmas. So help us understand a little bit better about that.
Well, the ultimate welfare payment, we can't earn it, is Jesus. How about that?
That's pretty good. I told you this guy was dynamic.
And it's open to everybody, whether you live in the U.S. or not.
That's right. And for the time being, the doors of the ark are open to everyone, right?
That's right. And in heaven, there'll be people from every nation, tribe, and tongue.
All right.
I guess we're about out of time.
Thank you, Frank. Hey, listen, seriously, help us. And that is a good point. So we want to make mention of the fact that the gospel is free. Salvation has been paid for. And God does not reproach those who ask for that salvation. And so well done, Frank.
Well, I do want to talk before we get into this. I really want to talk about Walker's bow tie.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you can see it. In fact, I forgot to mention, how can people see your bow tie?
Yeah, they can go to Facebook, Today's Issues on Facebook, or they can go to Today's Issues on YouTube. If you want to watch the show and while you watch the show, you can see my bow tie.
Yeah, what's the deal with the bow tie, Walker?
Well,
what's happening?
Well, I usually don't wear a tie, except if I'm going to important meetings, or today we have our board meeting for AFA, so I decided to dress up a little nicer, put on my bow tie, and by the way, it's not, I didn't tie it. It's one of those, you know, clip-on things, so yeah. I can't brag too much, but nonetheless, that's why I have it on.
And you know, Frank, I'm going to the board meeting too, but I didn't put on a bow tie. So.
Yeah, Ed, you look like you're about ready to clean your garage.
Oh, Frank. Frank Turek, I just got to say that for those who aren't used to this, the wit that you're hearing right here. Frank is like one of those gunslingers in the Old West. You don't really want to go up against that guy because you know he's faster than you. So
verbal gunslinger.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Frank, will you please talk about what we had you on the show to talk about?
Yeah, it wasn't that, I guess, huh? Yeah. Now, I want to ask the question as we come up to Christmas now of whether you're a Christian or not, if you're listening to this. And the question is, what do you worship? Because everybody worships something. And there's really, at the end of the day, there's only two religions in the world. There's one where you worship the creator, or there's the other where you worship some form of the creation. Hmm. And I think that Paul even talks about this in Romans chapter 1, that we suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and we worship the creation rather than the creator. And the question is, what do you really worship? Even if you're an atheist, there's something that you have on the top of your priority list. Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it your bank account? Is it another person? Is it prestige? Is it notoriety? Is it material things? Is it fame? Is it acceptance? What is the thing that really motivates you? What are you after in life? Because that might be the thing that you really worship. And I don't think Christians are immune to this. I think quite often we put idols, if you will, above God. We put things that we think are important, and they are important. They're just not as important as God. We put them above God. And whenever we do that, that creates trouble in our lives. Maybe not initially, but in the long term, it does. I mean, the very last word, the very last sentence that John says in 1 John is, "Dear children, keep away from idols." What do you think he was talking about there? He's talking about putting anything in this world above God. And he says there's only three things in the world: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. If you had to narrow those down to three things, it would be sex, money, and power. Those are the three things that get us into trouble. We're trying to get relationships, we're trying to get power, we're trying to get money, and we'll use illicit means to get them. We'll worship those things rather than put them in their proper place. All those things are good, they're just not good when they're out of their proper place. And so the question that I want to ask people this holiday season, this holiday, by the way, means holy day, this holy day season is, what do you worship? What are you really putting at the top of your priority list?
You know, Frank, that's a great question. What do you worship? So let's suppose we've got listeners out there who hear you say that, and they go, okay, I'm a Baptist, or I'm Catholic, or I'm Jewish, I'm Muslim, whatever. Is this a question that could be answered even by people who never go to church, never go to a mosque, never go to a synagogue? Are you really saying it doesn't matter who you are, even if you're, quote, not religious, everybody worships something? How does
everybody
that apply to the true,
right?
Secular person?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think everybody has something at the top of their priority list. Even tragically, people today who, you know, one of the biggest reasons our life expectancy is down is suicide is so far up, right? Even people who unfortunately take that awful step of killing themselves are worshiping something that they think maybe it's just relief. Maybe it's just the ability to check out. Maybe it's just avoiding the life that they're in right now. And so everybody has something that they put at the top of their priority list, something that they pursue. Even if they want to check out of this life, they're still trying to get something they don't have.
Fred, any comments?
No, well, I just want to change topics a little bit, but
okay.
We got Frank on the phone, and I know he'll have an answer to this.
Please, because right after this, he's got to go clean the garage.
Okay, yeah, he's ready for that. I don't know if you saw the story in the last couple of days. The Pope thinks the Lord's Prayer should be changed. He takes issue with the phrase in the prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." He says that's a bad translation, and the better translation is, "Don't abandon us when we are tempted." After hundreds of years of saying, "Lead us not into temptation," I guess the Vatican has been studying this. Well, I want to know your thoughts on that, Frank.
Yeah, you know, I just read that article this morning, as a matter of fact, and I haven't delved into the original languages myself on that, so I don't know if he's correct or not. It would seem to me that somebody would have gotten it right by now if, in fact, that was the wrong translation. But you could still pray, even if God would never lead you into temptation, you could still pray that he never does. Right?
Right.
I mean, so I don't know what the right translation is, but I did read that this morning, and it is true that God doesn't tempt us, but might he put us in a position of temptation? He certainly put Jesus in a position of temptation, right?
He does. It says, in fact, it says he led them into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Right, so he didn't tempt. See, there's a difference between God tempting somebody and God putting them in a position where they might be tempted. And you might say, well, why would God put them in a position where they might be tempted? Well, the only way that you're ever going to develop virtue, the kind of virtue that Jesus had, at least in a very minimal way, none of us are going to become like Christ completely, but the only way you're going to do it is to deal with difficulty. It's really hard to develop courage without danger. It's really hard to develop faith without need. It's really hard to develop perseverance unless there are obstacles in your way. And so God may lead you into a position where it's going to be difficult, but ultimately there's a good that comes out at the other end.
Well, Ray, we talked about this a little bit in our story meeting. It, to me, what matters is does the original text allow for that change? I don't have a problem with people saying, well, the original language says this might be a closer translation. Although sometimes I think too many people want to correct the original text when explanations should be done in preaching and teaching. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, number one, everything Frank said is 100% right. Number two, we've been arguing about the meaning of certain words for 2,000 years. And in fact, there's been a long-standing debate between the Catholics and the Protestants. Is it forgive us our trespasses or is it forgive us our debts?
Yeah.
So this is nothing new. The Pope's... The literal meaning of the text is closer to the traditional understanding. Lead us not into temptation. But the minute you say that, you get into the kind of theological discussion we just had. So the Pope is trying to get around that by saying, do not abandon me in the moment of temptation. That's also a good prayer. You could pray both of them confidently, which, you know, Fred, to go back to your original point, I watched Franklin Graham talking about on Fox News, and it was like, this isn't really such a big deal, and I don't think it's a big deal. I would say, as a good evangelical, I see no reason to, I'm not going to criticize the Pope, but I see no reason to change from the traditional lead us not into temptation. That's perfectly biblical.
Well, Frank, any last thoughts on that?
Well, I wanted to go back to this idea of who do you worship or what do you worship, because as you're sitting around the dinner table at Christmas or Christmas Eve, questions and issues regarding to Christianity might come up. So I think it might be helpful to ask questions of people, particularly if someone's not a Christian. You might ask somebody, well, do you mind if I ask you, it is Christmas time, why do you not consider yourself a Christian? Why are you not a Christian right now? I mean, before you try and give somebody an answer to their problem, you have to know what their problem is.
Right.
And typically when you ask them, why are they not a Christian, they're not going to talk about, well, there's no evidence for it. And very few people will say that. They'll say things like, well, Christians have wronged me, or the church is corrupt, or these kind of things, right? Mm-hmm. None of those things affect the truth of Christianity. So right. The first question to ask people is, do you mind if I ask you, why are you not a Christian? And then the second question is, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? And then see what they say. Because in many cases, the answer is going to be no. Doesn't matter what you say to them. Why? Because they don't want God to be God, because they want to be God of their own lives. They don't want there to be an accountability beyond them. And that's really the reason that people reject Christianity in many cases. It's because they don't want it to be true. They want to go their own way, and they think God's going to get in their way.
You know, Frank, you're the first one. I remember this several years ago. In fact, I think you said it in our devotions once when you came to visit. You were the first one I've ever heard raise that question, and you said this is the question that reveals all. If Christianity were true, would you be a Christian? Because that separates a person's heart from their mind.
Right.
And anyway, that's a great question for this time of the year. If you're going to be around friends and family who are not Christians, maybe gets kind of delved down a little bit deeper and maybe have better opportunities to witness. Frank, thank you so much for being on the program, brother.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, quite frequently they're worshiping their own autonomy when they say, no, I won't be a Christian.
Right. All right, Frank Turek, host of the radio program Cross Examined. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of today's issues.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
I try to, as often as I can, to encourage people to make sure that the scripture is understood and quoted in totality, as well as being understood and quoted within the appropriate context.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. 2019 is upon us, and we're going to be going back to Washington, D.C. and to Williamsburg for our spiritual heritage tours. And if you've been wanting to go, maybe this is the year for you. These tours fill up several months in advance. And one of the reasons they do is because we have an actual historian, a professional historian that comes on our tour with us. His name is Stephen McDowell. He's the president of the Providence Foundation, and he knows more about early American history, especially the Christian influence on early American history. He knows more than anybody I know. So, if you want to go with us, you can find out more information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's in June and September. Pick the month you want to go. Find out more information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Teachers in Fayetteville, Arkansas have been warned against decorating their classrooms for Christmas. The superintendent of schools fired off a letter telling teachers there would be consequences if their holiday decorations made a child feel uncomfortable. He cited a school board policy banning the promotion of religious beliefs by school workers. And I have an update on a War on Christmas story from Elkhorn, Nebraska. Jennifer Sinclair, the principal of Manchester Elementary School, she banned Christmas, ordering her staff not to observe the reason for the season. Christmas trees, Christmas carols, even Elf on the Shelf got shelved. After we reported on Principal Sinclair's Grinch-like behavior, the school district took action. They rescinded the ban and put Principal Sinclair on administrative leave, or as we like to call it, the naughty list. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and One News Now, and Walker Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations. And from the space station in Kansas City, Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. He is also joining us. And now we welcome, talk about space stations and superstars. We welcome one of our radio superstars, Sandy Rios, AFA Director of Governmental Affairs, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, heard on AFR Talk each weekday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Good morning to you, Sandy.
You are very funny this morning, Ed, but good morning back to you. The shining star.
Yes, the shining
reporting
star.
Reporting for duty.
That's right. I've been humbled. Frank Turek insulted me a couple of times. He was on before the break, so I'm just in that kind of mood. Now, we've been talking about this. We are literally 2 weeks from Christmas. How does that hit you?
Well, you know what? Honestly, this is the first Christmas, I think, in my adult life I've had everything done. I have just about everything done. So heap lavish praise on me if you like, but I've never done that before. It's usually Christmas Eve and I'm frantic. So
I have a word for that, Sandy. It's Fred here.
Oh, what, Fred?
In Canada, we call that a keener. You're a keener.
A keener.
Oh, I'm a keener.
You're a keener. Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? It's
you're just so keen. You're right on top of things.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay.
Oh, those Canadians.
I'm a Christmas keener.
Even their compliments sound clean. I mean, you know, nice, a keener. All right, Fred. Let's. We didn't have Sandy on here to compliment one another. We want her hard hitting analysis. So let's toss a couple of stories her way.
Well, listen, folks. As we speak, right at this moment, the meeting between President Trump and his good friends Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer about to begin there at the White House, and you know the. The stories leading up to all of this, Sandy, say they're going to have a chat about the wall. And the president says, I need $5 billion, which, as I was mentioning earlier, Sandy, is a whole lot less than the $25 billion he said back several months ago. But we hear this morning the best that Nancy and Chuck can do is $1.3 billion. President's not going to like that. Now, we also heard this morning that there's a possibility that the president could, because he's going to get turned down, turn to the military and say, this is a national security issue. I'll just take some of the Pentagon money and build my wall. So what do you think of this meeting today? We know what Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are going to say when they come out of the meeting. They're going to be greeted by the media, and they're going to say, well, the president's about to shut down the whole government because he wants his wall.
Well, now, what do I think of the meeting? Of course, it's a no-win. I mean, you can't negotiate. It's like negotiating between, again, people who think life is sacred and people who don't. That's a different issue, but sometimes there's just no middle ground. They don't want a wall. Hmm. They don't want a wall. They do not want a national sovereignty. And so you can't really negotiate with them. But the best possible scenario to me is that President Trump is able to position this meeting and demonstrate by what happens that they are what I just said. That they are unwilling. They are unwilling to do anything to make us safe on the southern border. And that if he doesn't do something, we are going to be overrun. And they're refusing to do anything. Therefore, blank. You know, therefore, government shutdown because of them. Or therefore, what you just said, taking money from the military fund. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but he has to do something. I know Congressman Meadows and Congressman Jordan are trying to remind the president that there's only three weeks to make this happen. Only 3 weeks. And really, to expand on just speculation here, just every time I look at the president, he looks worn out. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm kind of getting worried about him. I just think the pressure is unbelievable. So we really need to pray for him. He is really the only person standing between us and so many other disasters. And they're coming after him, his family, his finances, his taxes. They're trying to sue him every way to Sunday. They're threatening to put him in jail. And I think it's wearing on him. Who wouldn't it wear on, right, honestly?
Hey, Sandy, this is Walker. I wanted to stay on the same topic, kind of. But you know, President Trump, you know, some of us would say we wish he would just shut down the government, fight for the wall, and tell the Democrats and the Republicans, look, I'm not signing any bill until it funds at least $5 billion of my wall. I promised the American people this. They put me into office largely based on this issue. But also, I think that most of the blame probably should be put on the shoulders of the Republicans in Congress and the Democrats, too, because after all, they're the ones that keeps, knowing Trump's position, they keep sending him bills that largely don't include the funding for his wall. You know, and if President Trump waits, Sandy, and maybe doesn't get it this go around, then it's likely not going to happen unless conservatives sweep the House and the Senate in 2020, but that's a long ways out. So this is one of those things. If he doesn't get it now, Sandy, do you think he'll ever get it?
The answer is no. You know, if I could see any optimism, I would bring it. I just know because the forces against sovereignty and against our principles have been amassed in such a strong way that they've become almost, it seems, impenetrable and so determined. And I think this 2018 election was kind of a gut punch. I would say this. I was thinking about this early this morning. If you're a soldier in battle, and many people listening to us have been, you take your licks. Sometimes you get shot, your buddies get killed, you lose some battles, But you don't just get, say, I'm discouraged because I lost that battle today and the enemy seems to be overtaking us. See them climbing over the walls? Mm-hmm. You can't stop. You just dig down deep inside. And with the help of God, you fight back. And I think that's where we are. So I sound like I'm contradicting myself because I think humanly speaking, it doesn't look good. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't fight. That doesn't mean we couldn't prevail. Mm-hmm. And so I just can't bring it in me to quit. I can't. And I just pray that this president will not find that in himself either. We need to encourage him in every way we can, every way that we can possible.
And Sandy, we were talking about this very point earlier, that the optics, the timing, shutting down the government at Christmas or around Christmas, it's awful. The media is in the back pocket of the Democrats. So we know it's going to be the Democrats and the Washington Post and New York Times, all of them ganging up against President Trump if there is a government shutdown. So in that kind of, you know, you look at the card you're holding in your hand, and I'm sure he wants to do exactly what you just said. He wants to fight back. He doesn't want to give up. But would he dare to take the risk of shutting the government down, understanding the avalanche of negative publicity that would come? Is it worth the risk?
Well, I guess the counter to that, Ray, would be, really, could they barrage him anymore?
Right.
Could they?
Would
they increase their negative coverage to 99% as opposed to 97%? I mean, honestly, how bad can it be? How much worse can it be?
Right.
I sort of think, and then of course, the people, the American people, I just heard on another talk show yesterday, I heard a woman call in who was a Democrat who had voted for Hillary in the past, and she's from a long line, many generations of Democrats, and she voted for Donald Trump. And she said it was over the immigration issue. She just couldn't bear to see what was happening, and nobody else was willing to fight back. And so I think that really the honest polls will show you that Americans of both parties are very concerned about us not taking care of our borders and of our national sovereignty. So I think I'd take that chance. What has he got to lose? Mm-hmm. And I know, so you know, we can shout. We got a loud voice,
right.
And so are others of our brothers and sisters in this business about the fact that really is the Democrats refusing to agree. I think the Republicans actually would do it now, Walker.
Yeah.
So that now that they've been forced to it, I think they would fund this wall.
Hmm. Well, on the same topic, and you're speaking about earlier in response to my question about fighting back, continuing to fight, you know, President Trump said, and I know we maybe already brought this up, that he's willing to use the military to build the wall, which is interesting. I've never really thought of it from a legal standpoint. I guess he has the authority to do so. But if he could somehow muster up the funds somewhere in the Department of Defense budget to do it, then he probably could build not all of it, but a large portion of it with the military.
I don't know about that, Walker. I really don't know. I don't know what the laws are in regard. I know, you know, there are things the military cannot do, like, you know, the posse comitatus law.
Yeah.
There are things that they cannot do, but whether they can build walls, I don't know. They seem to be able to do nation building overseas, you know, and
right.
put things together. So maybe they could. I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and listen, we just used our military to put barbed wire up.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
So why not a building?
Why not a wall?
Yeah, the Army Corps of Engineers could do it
from
a technical standpoint,
right.
And I believe from a legal standpoint. But the problem is the money. I mean, you have to pay the service members, you have to pay for the supplies, the equipment.
However, I would argue you're paying the service members anyway.
Well, that's true. So then you would just need to pay
If you deploy the engineers down there to do that work, they're still being paid the same salary they would if they were back home on post.
Right.
Well, if he carries out and carries through with a threat. I don't know that it's a threat. He might say it's a promise. If he carries through with it and says, all right, well, I'm getting nowhere with Pelosi and Schumer, so I'm using the military to put up this wall, I am sure we will get a legal challenge. I'm sure someone will sue, and it'll go before a federal judge, and then we'll have yet another constitutional crisis where a federal judge, because they'll forum shop, and they'll find a liberal judge or two, and they will say, no, you got to stop it. And then President Trump has to decide whether he's going to listen or not. So that's the kind of thing we'll find out. Hey, Sandy, do you have a few extra minutes, or can we?
Sure.
All right. Just a few minutes. Fred, let's get Sandy's take on some of this. You were talking about the Tucker Carlson piece and some of the things about these charges. I know Sandy hasn't covered this at all on her show.
No. Well, Tucker Carlson editorial that he wrote, I believe it was yesterday, it said, "What crimes did President Trump commit in the Michael Cohen case?" And, of course, the only thing being talked about now is the money that was paid to Stormy Daniels and the other Playboy woman to keep them quiet with their allegations.
And used his own money.
And he says he used his own money. So that's hardly a breach of misuse of campaign funds.
Right.
But that's what the other side is saying. Tucker Carlson, in this piece, and obviously I won't take time to read the whole thing, he said, "By this reasoning, any money a political candidate spends to maintain or protect his image while running for office now qualifies as a regulated campaign donation and has to be disclosed." And then he says, "It would definitely include the taxpayer-financed slush fund Congress has set aside to pay off its own sexual harassment claims." And people need to be reminded of that.
Right.
Folks, your taxpayers, there's been a pot of money that our lawmakers have been using so that when, and for the most part it's females, make an accusation against a male member of Congress, they're paid off to keep quiet. Mm-hmm. And the public does not know the names of the lawmakers to which the charge has been made.
Right.
So I think Tucker Carlson is pointing out a great deal of hypocrisy here in all of this. The lawmakers, when they're faced with this, they think it's perfectly fine to use taxpayers' money to hush these women.
Right.
But when Trump did the same thing with his own funds in the election campaign, that's an indictable offense. And the president is going to go, little Adam Shifty, he may go to prison as soon as he gets out of jail.
Right.
Or gets out of the office.
So, Sandy, we'll let you answer this, and then we'll let you go for the day. What do you think of Tucker Carlson's analysis there?
Well, Tucker's right on. I did talk about this morning. Here's the thing. I was reading a campaign finance attorney's take on this, and he was pointing out that it's customary, happens all the time, that powerful, wealthy men get accused of things by women. And it can be, and by other people too. It can be true and it can be not true. But they look for excuse. People look for excuses to extort and get money. And it, like I said, it doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't mean it's true either. And so it's very customary for very wealthy, high profile men to have a certain like a system of paying things when they have to. If somebody's threatening something against them, threatening some information or whatever. And so President Trump, no doubt, before he was president, probably has done this. I wouldn't doubt if he's done this a lot. He's been a billionaire for a long time. He's a personality bigger than life, you know. Right. And so it's something he's done on a regular basis. I'm pretty sure about that. And so, and it is customary. It's not uncommon. It happens all the time. It has nothing to do with campaigns. And so, I mean, the argument can be made that this would be a regular practice of people in his position, and therefore, and not related to any kind of campaign. And then Tucker's point, of course, Congress, I think, has spent, I think, $15 million, I think that's the figure, of our tax dollars, to maybe more than that, to pay off women and maybe some little boys, I don't know, against bad behavior of congressmen. And they will not release the list so that we don't know who they are. It's secretly guarded. That's Paul Ryan's deal, by the way.
Right.
A mutual agreement. Now, people don't need to know everything. They just need to know everything about Donald Trump, not so much about what Congress is doing. And so there. And the worst part about it is, as you said, Fred, and Tucker said before that, that this is tax dollars. It's not even their private funds. So they're always campaigning. They run every 2 years. So they're trying to save their reputation so that they can be reelected. So it is exactly the same thing, only worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Well, and you're right. What's his face? Adam Schiff is preening about the president going to jail for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to be clear about what these really, I'm sorry, my mother would not like this, but what these idiots are saying. Because honestly, they're delusional. And people are so gullible, they listen to these delusions and they don't know enough to really understand how wacky this is and how outrageous and unfair. That would be an understatement.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to, we'll continue to follow this because the Democrats on the verge of taking office in charge of the House here in January are promising, I mean, this is going to be, this is the next 2 years are going to be a bloodbath. I mean, in the lead up, not only to the battle for the White House in 2020, but control the Senate and with the Democrats in charge of the House, this is just going to be wall to wall. This is going to be wall to wall brutality against the president. Mm. I mean, it's unlike anything I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to be living through for the next 2 years.
And the question for us, Ed, is, you know, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? How can we stop this? I don't know. I don't know other than we talk every day, we encourage people, but how can we help the president? How can we stop this travesty?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I would just say in answer to that is that elections have consequences. And for all those people who maybe support the president or certainly support his policies, but who did not vote in 2018, the elections have consequences. And for those who weren't sure and thought maybe they'd give the Democrats a chance, and they are, if they wind up being sickened over the next 2 years about this treatment of the president, elections have consequences. And so I just encourage people, I mean, obviously pray for our country because it is unraveling, coming apart at the seams in terms of the hostility from the left. I would just say, obviously pray. I would say get people in your churches registered, but you've got to run for office. You've got to vote. You've got to stand up for what you believe is right around the water cooler and, if possible, around the dinner table at Christmas, because this is literally a war for the soul of our country and its survival. Oh. And this is not a time to be silent or to be impotent in the face of this.
Amen.
People got to make changes in their own lives if they want this country to change. So
keep fighting.
All right, Sandy, I know you do your part each weekday morning from 7 to 8 Central Time. We've been talking with Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Sandy, thanks so much for what you do.
You're very welcome. Thanks to all of you guys. Talk to you soon. Mm-hmm.
Take care, Sandy.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Yeah.
Well, Ray, what do you think about all this?
You know, on the last point, Ed, I mean, that's where the bottom line comes in. You have the political stuff. I'm kind of waving my hands in the air, you know, up here. You got the government, you got the Supreme Court, you got Congress. But ultimately, Ed, it comes down to some very personal questions. You're a Christian. Okay, good. You believe. That's good. You see what's happening in America. All right. Are you going to sit there and just watch TV and drink your eggnog during the holidays, right, and go to the parties, or are you going to get involved? Are you going to speak out? I think maybe in this midterm we had some Christians who decided they liked the eggnog and the Hallmark movies and all the rest of that more than the dirty work of making a difference in our society. So we're going to have to decide individually what we believe and are we willing to speak up, knowing that some people aren't going to like it. So,
well, Ray, let me push
what
that.
What you said is beautiful.
Let me push that just a little bit further, because I my personal opinion is that is the problem in the church as well. And that may be behind all this political and cultural turmoil. I don't want to just always blame the church for everything, because Jesus preached in cities and towns and they rejected even the Son of God. But it seems to me that the church in America is not in that position where it can say, hey, we did our best and they rejected the message. It seems to me that for decades maybe the church has been like the church in Laodicea, just fat and lazy and self-satisfied and having too much fun doing what they want to do. And that is part of the cause. We haven't been salt and light in this country.
You know, it's a uniquely American kind of problem, isn't it? I was reading just a day or so, well, actually the day or so ago, and then again this morning, about what happened over in China, that house church that was, that's a big one, that was raided and 100 people arrested and
right.
people beaten. And I commented to my wife that the shock of this is not that it happened, but the government isn't even trying to cover it up anymore.
Right.
They don't even care. You know, fine, bring your cell phone. You can videotape it because you can't stop us anyway. That the cost of being a Christian in China, in Somalia, in South Sudan, and across the Muslim world, it's a lot different than it is yeah. here in the United States. And maybe that has produced this laodicy and complacency. I'm fat, I'm happy, I'm rich, I've got everything I need. Meanwhile, we see our own country morally and spiritually, politically, economically, going off the rails and into the pit at record-breaking pace. Oh, for some Christians, and let's say honestly, oh, for some pastors
yes.
who will speak out and say, it doesn't matter whether I keep my job or whether I lose it, I'm going to speak the truth of God into this situation.
Mm-hmm. Ray, isn't part of the problem, and this is a hangover from the 2016 presidential election, even within the evangelical community, there is still the accusation that you evangelicals who voted for Donald Trump, you're depending on the Republican Party to turn this country around. And that is simply a false statement. I have never met an evangelical Christian who says the Republican Party is the answer to all the problems in this nation. I've never met one individual. But still you get accusations from people, let's face it, who don't like Donald Trump.
Right.
Who
right.
say, you evangelical, shame on you. You've lost your spiritual status. You're not trusting in God anymore. You're trusting more in the Republican Party. How do you respond to people who criticize like that?
Well, the fact of the matter is, given the choices we had in 2016, right?
Mm-hmm.
Given imperfect people all across the board, but given the choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, a vast majority of evangelicals said, we do not want to go down the road with Hillary Clinton as president, knowing where she wants to take this country. Mm-hmm. America would be vastly different already in 2018, 2 years in, if she'd been elected. So whatever Donald Trump's faults, at least on some issues we really, really care about, the judiciary, the pro-life issue, the freedom of religion, a lot of stuff that we talk about here at American Family Radio, Mr. Trump was much closer to our values, and he's sympathetic to our people, to our leaders, to our yeah. pastors. We've got open door in the White House that we've never had before. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we think the Republican Party equals the kingdom of God.
No.
It's given that decision that we had to make in 2016, I think most of the people who voted for him, most evangelicals who voted for him then, most would probably say, put that ballot in front of me again, I'd make the same choice.
Ray, don't you think that this war, this spiritual battle that we're seeing take place in our country, and it's not necessarily a new battle, but it's a battle over whether Christians will continue to stand and publicly proclaim God's word and their beliefs. Don't you think over time that what we're seeing happen here is we're seeing that maybe the church in America wasn't as big as we thought it was? Maybe there were some lukewarm people in the church house, if you will, and we're starting to see kind of the separation of those who are truly committed to God's word and those maybe who were not really that committed all along.
That's an excellent point.
Well, not only excellent, it's exactly right, don't you think, that there is a separation underway, and we're finding in these days who really wants to stand up for life and truth and who wants to sit back and eat their bonbons and, you know, and watch the movies and drink the eggnog and go to the parties and not care about what's happening in this country. And I think that's a good separation. But maybe we are, Walker, finding out the church that we thought was so big maybe wasn't quite as big as we thought it was.
Yeah.
So that's how we got in this situation.
Well, these sobering words and a little bit of levity. I always like it when someone makes fun of Hallmark movies like Ray did. So,
and just, I watch them, too.
Me too,
there's
Ray.
The other side of that.
All right, folks, thank you for listening for this first hour. We're coming back after 5 minutes for the last half hour of today's issues. We'll be back after five.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.